Listen to Melanated Mom's podcast,
because she has something to say.
Oh, yeah. I'm a melanated mom, working hard as can be. I show up for my children while showing up for me. I'm a melanated mom.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another edition of the Melanated Mom podcast, where we raise creative, innovative, and independent thinkers, but in the process, we do not forget about ourselves. I hope you are well. Hope you are still thriving through pandemic. I'm still trying to thrive as much as I can. What's up with you guys and school? What's happening in your areas? Here in California, they're talking about opening up schools. In my district, they're talking about 5 days a week, 2 hours a day for the kids. So still not sure how I'm feeling about that. I did check yes on the letter of intent, but, you know, there's still time. I think it's supposed to happen somewhere around April for them to go back. So I still have time to change my mind, I guess. I think school is the catalyst for everything, right? Because when school starts opening up, then everyone will be released, in air quotes, to go back to the office. So I think school is like the first place that we'll start to see everything open back up, and then more things will follow. So today I'm excited to bring you this guest. I always say I'm excited because I am, because I pick dope people to be on this podcast. So I'm always excited to introduce you to the people that I have coming on. The person that I'm interviewing today is a melanated mama, like most of my guests are, and her name is Kimberly Ojo, and she is a Black woman who has been living with depression since she was 16 years old, and Kimberly feels that it is her responsibility to share with other Black women what she has learned and what she is still learning on her mental health journey. She combined her love for writing and creating with her passion to help other women become mentally healthier individuals, and produced an ebook that is timeless, practical, and easy to implement. Her goal is to help every woman become whole, especially the single Black mom. So there was one thing that I wanted to say about Kimberly's book, which I haven't purchased yet, but I plan on getting very soon, is that she brought out a very important point in this interview about moms just being aware of what it is that they love. Simple and seemingly something that we should be able to do, right? That was a tongue twister, but it's not, right? I've heard so many moms talk about not really being aware of who they were or being aware of what they liked anymore. So just having a complete brain dump of ideas of things that you and only you like to do that is specifically for your wellness. You know, my wellness is tied to my mental health. For example, if I don't get up and work out in the morning, I'm done. And as much as I know that, there's still times where I'll sleep in and I'll lay in the bed and then I will have the worst day ever. I'm just going to be completely honest. So knowing what motivates us to be able to show up for our families is super important. So I know there's a part in the book where she has, you know, just where you do a brain dump. There's just so many interesting things that she talked about, and the way that she bought the material to us is like simple, but still in a way that you wouldn't even think about doing. So yeah, I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna put that on my list of things to do this week. And I hope that you will too. And I know that you're going to enjoy this interview, and I look forward to hearing your feedback about it. And I hope you guys have an amazing week, and also an amazing next week, because I won't see you until the week after. So talk to you soon. All right. Take care.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Melanated Mom Podcast, where we speak to raising creative, innovative, and independent thinkers. And in the process of that, we make sure that we take care of ourselves as well. So this episode today is going to be all about taking care of ourselves. I have my girl, Kimberly. Kimberly, how do you pronounce your last name?
Ojo.
Ojo. Okay. Kimberly Ojo, we have been following each other on Instagram for a while. I love being Kimberly. I keep up with her on all of her YouTube platforms. So it's an honor to be able to have Kimberly on the podcast today. Will you please tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Yes. Thank you so much for the introduction. I'm Kimberly Ojo. Originally Kimberly Dew. I am married to a Nigerian, which hence has a little bit of a different last name than most people recognize. I am a 37 years old, mother of three. One of them is grown. One of them is a toddler. So I have quite a bit of experience, I should say, now with kids. But I live most of my life as a single mom because my husband is deported. And before I met him, I was a single mom for many, many, many years. So I do YouTube videos about my everyday life. I have a platform on Instagram just to like help women grow, because I feel like I'm growing and what I learn, I want to teach the next person. So I live my life out loud on these platforms so people can see me grow. And so I can also look back and see myself grow. So I'm here today to talk about some of the things I've learned and mommying while also being diagnosed with depression. So I think that's something that I have learned over the last 10 years or so with that experience. And so I can share now with other women.
You know, we have so much in common because I too have a 25-year-old and I am a mom to my youngest is six. So it is a whole different experience. And even in states that, you know, people that may have not been diagnosed with depression, there are still so many highs and lows in parenting. I have found, I was a single mother for a long time too, for 15 years. I have found that almost during that single time that I had with just my son, that it was easier for me to manage that. And now I'm on this other piece where I have to have somebody else helping me out. We got to like get on the same page. And a lot of times I'd be like, dang, it was so much easier when I was doing it by myself. But just figuring out how to navigate it, like with being married, with being single, navigate it with your husband being so far away from you, all those different things, I think send us on so many mood elevations. So just finding ways to cope with that and deal with it. And like you said, because the momming don't stop. I mean, I'm having a day, but these kids still want breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We still got to get ready for school. I still have to work, all of those things. So finding helpful tools to help us manage our way through those things are so important. So I'm just excited that you're here to talk about it, girl, because I'm about to put all this in my arsenal. Okay.
Look, can't wait. Get your notepad out.
My notepad is, I'm going to go back and listen to this because I got to edit it anyway. Right. So, look, I'm all good to go. So we are going to hop right in to the topic of mommying while dealing with depression. And Kimberly is going to give us some helpful tips to go through this. So I wanted to ask you, when did you realize that you were experiencing depression? And how did you know the difference between just being sad and being depressed?
Well, I think my depression was diagnosed by a professional, but it was also something inside of me that I knew something wasn't right that led me to go to a professional. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until I almost drove myself off of a cliff that I realized it was something I needed help dealing with my emotions. I was going, at the time I was homeless and my son had gotten into some legal trouble, and I felt myself being like very alone and very like inside myself. Like I was too embarrassed to talk about what was going on with my son. I was too embarrassed to talk about me being homeless with anybody. So a lot of it was held in. Now that seems like situational depression. It's like you're going through something, so you're going to naturally be sad. You're going to naturally react to that. But what I was finding was, even after, you know, I couldn't shake it. Like it wasn't chipping off. Like it wasn't getting better with time, as most situational depression does. It wasn't getting better with time. And I found myself wanting to like not be alive. And that's what led me to go to a professional. Although I had already been in therapy before like off and on. It was like I was in support groups for things like sexual abuse. You know, when I was a kid, I was in a support group for that. So me not really putting that all together, I didn't think it was depression at the time. I just thought, you know, there's things in my life that I haven't dealt with. I haven't forgiven. I haven't gotten over. And so I was in these like group therapy type situations. So I wasn't a stranger to therapy or counseling or anything like that. And also my son's, I was getting therapy for him as well. From the situation that he was in, it was court ordered. So I was just getting kind of introduced to what therapy was. And then once I sought the help personally for myself outside of the group that I was already in, then that's when I come to know that it was depression. And then there was a gap there when I denied it was depression, even after being diagnosed and even after having medications. I stopped taking my medications, stopped going to therapy, and felt like, you know, I'm fine now, you know, I'm good. I don't feel it anymore. I'm fine. And it just kept reoccurring without the situations arising. There was no like reason for me to be sad. And so that is when I have really had to start to like say, okay, this maybe depression is something I really do have.
Right. You know, and it's so interesting how there will be a problem like depression and people go on medication for it, and how if we had cancer and we were on medication, we wouldn't just say, oh, I'm okay now, and I'm gonna stop this medication. We wouldn't feel a need to do that. And so I'm happy that people are getting to the place where they realize that this is a sickness just like anything else. Like if you broke your arm, you going to the hospital. If you have cancer, if you need to go on dialysis, you're not going to skip a week. You're not going to be like, oh, I'm not going to dialysis this week. You're going to do things that you need to do to take care of yourselves. And I'm so happy that people are actually getting to the point where they feel like they can go ahead and realize that this is something that you may need extra help for, and it doesn't take away from or add to anything that you are. Right.
Right.
You can do
just,
these things.
To me, I define depression as a significant situation that takes you outside of your normal personality. Mm-hmm. And so the reason why it's so easy for us to say, oh, I'm going to stop taking my medication, or I'm feeling good now, is because when you get back to feeling like yourself, you get back to your regular personality, you feel like you're fixed. But what we have to understand is that depression is, there's no cure for it. There's only managing it. Just like high blood pressure, you can manage high blood pressure. You can manage a headache or some things that just don't have cures. Now, like, I don't know, nothing comes to mind. I want to say like AIDS and stuff like that. There's no cure for it, but we can manage it. We can help ourselves feel normal or live normal lives while we have that. But it's such a tricky thing, because once you start to feel better, you really just feel like you don't need it.
And exactly. And that, and part of you feeling better could be the medication.
It is. It is.
So, of course, you're going to be feeling better. That is what it's supposed to be.
We just work it.
Girl,
but so many times I went off my medications because I don't know. I mean, thinking back on it, I don't know why I was thinking like that. But at the time, I guess I was feeling like I was trying to convince myself that it's not the medication. It's like the Holy Spirit. You know, I've been praying for God to deliver me from this. And you know, so, and as a Christian woman, that's another piece of it where you want to feel like you've been delivered and you've been set free from this thing. And you hear it preached like that too. Mm-hmm. So you feel like, okay, I'm feeling better. The medication is not what's keeping me. It's God that's keeping me. And so that can be another tricky part to it too.
And the thing about it is that God delivers us in all different kinds of ways, right? So being of Christian faith too, is like we have this idea, or this idea has been placed on us through our faith in many ways, that if you're taking medicine, then that's not the healing.
That's not the deliverance.
The healing should just be there, but God made the doctor who made the medicine. So you can't tell me that we can't take medicine to get better, you know? So we have to, like, I think we have to break out of that stigma so much in the Christian world that this isn't the thing that can bring the healing. This is the healing. This is what we're asking for. This is what God delivered to us in this season. And we should be okay with that. So I'm just so excited that so many more people are starting to grasp that and get it. Because I know that back in my day in church, they'll have you feeling bad for needing to take medicine or needing to go to the doctor or needing to do these things. But, you know, God sets us free in so many different ways. And I'm glad that people are starting to wake up to that. And whether it be that you might have to ignore somebody that is in the faith that thinks they have all the answers for you, or you are under somebody who really understands that there are more than one way to skin a cat. You know, everybody's not going the same way. So
that's true.
I'm happy that you.
And for me, it started for me in church.
Was helpful for you.
Yeah, it started for me in church, and I would never, ever, ever forget the first church that I went to, the first church that I got saved at as an adult, because, you know, you go to church as a kid, but as an adult, that church really did open up a lot of doors for me spiritually, mentally, creatively, and honestly made me who I was today. So I got that foundation at the church that I was going to, and a lot of people don't get that. So I am glad that a lot of people are coming around to it now. We see a lot more celebrities talk about therapy and medication and mental illness, and it's still a lot of stigma in it, but people are really starting to come around, and I'm so happy about that.
It makes all the difference. It being able to see other people that are saying that this is what it is and this is what I do, it really makes a difference. Even something as simple as me, like watching you on Instagram Live and talking about some of the things that you have dealt with and some of the things that you have felt, I think that we don't realize how much those stories are really helping other people. This is why I preach transparency so much, because we can have a perfectly curated feed. We can do all these perfect videos and we ain't never helped nobody. What's the point? Why are you here? So I always want my life to be a ministry to other people so that other people could get free and not have to go through the things that I had to go through to get there. Because it don't take all that. You know, there were so many things that I could have avoided in my own life if I would have just been willing to succumb to some of the things that were going to help me and stop trying to fight the
thing.
A
lot of times what people don't understand, like you could be, you know how as parents, we can tell our child to do something and they pay us no, never mind. But let like a celebrity or someone they look up to tell them the exact same thing and it completely changes their attitude. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, you know, when you live your life out loud and you're saying your truth, you never know who you may be helping, as far as like maybe hearing the same messages over and over, but it finally clicks when they hear it from you. It finally clicks when they get your point of view of the situation. So yeah, I do have a lot of like doubt in my mind sometimes about the stuff that I share online. It's like, oh, people are gonna think I'm crazy. People are gonna think this and that. But I have to remember that whoever it's for, that's who it's for.
Exactly. So I kind of wanted you to walk us through, like, from the time that you considered yourself needing to get more help in terms of your depression, when you started down that path, where were the first steps that you took to help yourself? And then I want to transition into how you still deal with going through depressive states in mommy, because we talked about this before we even signed on about how life doesn't stop. So when you are depressed and she has three beautiful sons and one of them happens to be so young that he needs to be taken care of 24/7. When you are in these moments, like, how are you able to continue to do the things that you have to do? Because like we said, it does not stop.
It does not stop.
No.
To be perfectly honest, every day doesn't get done. But that's
that's to be perfectly honest. Okay.
Yeah.
Everything doesn't always get done.
And that's okay. Learn to be okay with that. That's one. But you know, when I first started my journey with depression, I didn't really even know it was going to be a journey. I thought it was going to be something that, you know, take some medication for, I'll be fine, and then I can move on with my life. I don't have to do this for a long period of time. It took me a series of therapists. I think one of the biggest first steps that I took was recognizing that I had a problem and going for help. I did have people in my family who did not want me to go for help. They didn't think that, you know, prayer was all I needed. I didn't need to go to therapy. So making that decision to defy what I've known and what I've grown up around and go another route to help myself, that was the first step. It did take me a little while to find a therapist that I really felt was right for me. And then I think this is where a lot of people give up. So even if they take that first step and they go and they find seek therapy, maybe that first therapist didn't do it for them. Then they say, okay, see, I tried therapy and it didn't work for me. So there's no help for me. It's hopeless. And they give up on it. But that's something that I think is going to take the longest period of time, is to find the right therapist. And it's not going to be easy. And 9 times out of 10, it's not going to be the first one. Mm-hmm. Let's just get that out of the way. Right. And after I kind of like kept going, and for me, I think for me, what was happening was I wanted to give up because there was large gaps in between each therapist that I have. But every time I had another episode, I realized how I really need to get back to find another therapist. So I would go back and I would try again. And it took me a long time before I found one. And then I moved. So I'm going through that process again now in Charlotte, North Carolina, of trying to find the right therapist here. And I've had therapists that would just move to another location. So they let me go instead of me letting them go. I have therapists who stopped using my insurance. So then I had to find some. So it's always something. But once I did find a good therapist, and I found a good therapist and psychiatrist combination, meaning that I was getting medicine and I was getting help from a therapist at the same time, that combination really helped me. And then things started to kind of really progress where I was getting my own apartment and I was getting my car back again and I was going back to better jobs and stuff like that. And things just started to progress from there. At this point in my life, I felt like it was okay to start dating again. And that's when I met my now husband and things progressed from there. But when in the depressive modes, and I have this conversation with my teens now, because there's so much now that they can understand that they couldn't understand when I was going through a lot of things, I realized I was doing mommy and wrong with the depression, because there was times when I would just sleep and cry all day long for days, like on the weekends. I didn't know what my kids were doing. They were, you know, they were kind of like doorsteps, so they entertained each other. Right. And if I hear a loud noise, I'll jump up and see what's going on, make sure nobody's hurt. You know, they were at the age where they could make their own cereal and things like that. So I just kind of ignored that whole mothering part. There was one time I woke up and I couldn't find them. They were outside down the street.
Wow.
With their toys, knocking on people's doors and selling their toys to people. Right. And they actually made a good amount of money. But it was not okay. Right. It was not okay for them to be outside knocking on strangers' doors and getting money from them. Like anything could have happened to them during that time period. Mm-hmm. So that's during the time period when I was doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I kind of had to forgive myself for. And I had to talk to them about as they got older. But now that I have a toddler, and I didn't think I would be in this situation again, but here I am. I felt like, and also my kids were older now. So I'm going through it in a more healthier way. So I have three very important questions you need to ask yourself in order, because this is not going to be the same for everybody. Right. You need to know your triggers. You need to know your support team, and you need to know kind of like how you want to show up as a mom. Mm-hmm. And so depending on those three things will determine what type of a plan you'll create when you're in these depressive modes. But the first thing you I think that it's important to do is knowing your triggers, because if you know your triggers, you can kind of feel it coming on. Like if you know that in the colder months you seem more sad, then you know in the winter, when the winter is coming, you know how to kind of like prepare for it. It's just like any other illness. If you know that salt intake is going to make your blood pressure high, you're going to stay away from the salt. Like you just started trying to plan for it. So the more you know about yourself and your illness, and that's something that your therapist can help you with, the more you know about yourself and your illness, the better it's going to be for you to handle it when you have an episode. Another thing that is important is your support team. And this is something that I am building over time, because I feel like the first thing you think about when you think about support is obviously your family and friends. And for me, that wasn't the case, because you have to realize, you know, everybody is not going to be there for you. Everybody's not going to have, you know, the patience to deal with it. They're not going to be on the same wavelength as it comes, like, because there are some people who look at you and say, okay, you're lazy. You're not depressed. You're lazy. You just need to get up and do what you need to do and start wasting everybody's time. And so sometimes your support can be a detriment to you. So you have to know who to kind of rely on and who to kind of like lean on during these time periods. Because if it's going to be a really bad depression episode, you probably don't need to be around your kid.
Right.
You probably need to say, hey, can you come pick up so-and-so for the weekend? Can he go spend the night with you? I'm having a hard time today. You need to put your kid in a place where they're going to be safe and you can handle yourself and they're not seeing you in this cycle.
Right.
I think that's going to be really important. And not everybody in your family is going to understand that. And not all your friends are going to be able to kind of like really be there for you. So that's going to be something that you're going to try to build as you're going along, as you're getting to know your own self, as you're getting to know your symptoms and your triggers, you're going to be building your support. And then for those people who don't have that support, because that's what I'm in now, and this new city that I'm living in, and I've been here about 2 years, I don't have the support, because especially after COVID-19, you can't just send your kid over to anybody else and stuff like that right now. So that's where it comes in to have your plan together, because you're going to start implementing things with your kids that is normal. Mm-hmm. When you're not in a depressed state, you're still doing the same things. So that when you're in a depressed state, if you say, okay, mommy needs some quiet time, right, they already know what quiet time means, because mm-hmm. you've already been implementing it already. Mm-hmm. Or you say, you know, some sort of activity that they know where all the supplies are. They know how to go and get it. They know what to do and things like that, so that you can, so they know exactly. So you're already implementing those things when you're not depressed, so that when you are depressed, you can just, it's a go-to spot for you and the family. Talking to your kids also is going to be a very important part of it when you're not depressed, letting them know that you have an illness. And these are some of the things that happens when you are ill, because depending on their age, they probably are going to be part of your support team. Mm-hmm. And you have to talk to them and at an age level, you know, don't try to go too far, too deep when they're too young. So like my toddler now knows that, you know, sometimes, you know, we talk about feelings, like, you know, this is what it means to be sad. What happens when you're sad? You cry when you're sad. You want to be left alone when you're sad, you know, and he watches, you know, all the TV shows and stuff. So they have little emotionals and stuff like that happens. He knows all the different emotions. So you're talking to your kids at their age level about the illness so that they're aware of it. And they know, you know, they kind of get used to certain, I don't want to say triggers, because it's not really a trigger for them, but they get used to kind of like knowing when the space level between, you know, when you are having an episode. And depending on how bad the episode is, because everybody's going to be different. I haven't had a really bad episode in a long time, because I've been keeping myself healthy and things like that. So it's going to be difficult to say, okay, if you're doing this, then do this, because it's going to be based on that person's level of awareness, that person's lifestyle, that person's environment, what they're going to be able to do. And that's something that they're going to have to talk about, that I recommended they talk about with a therapist. And that's why I feel like therapist is going to be the number one thing that you want to do, because everything else is going to fall into place afterwards. So right now I haven't had any really big episodes, but I do know my triggers. Like when I'm sleeping a little bit longer than like a normal 8-10 hour day, whatever, and I'm just like, okay, I should be up doing things. I'm usually up doing things, but I just want to sleep. my kids know she's probably having a little bit of an episode, and they let me sleep, because that's, it could be that could be like what I need to get over it. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing that I would say, there was one more thing that I, one more point that I wanted to make. Therapy, knowing yourself, your support team. Oh, and giving yourself grace. Giving yourself grace. Because you're not going to be able to do everything. Right. When you're in a depressed mode, you have a loss for energy. You have a loss for, you know, you have a loss for interest in doing anything. You're not going to want to play with your kids. You're not going to want to fold clothes. And it seems like, okay, that happens to me now and I'm not depressed. Right. But yeah, it is kind of like some of the same things, but it's a little bit of a deeper level, because it's like, normally you can get up and do it. It's like your mind is telling you that you can't do something, and you're willing yourself to do it, but you literally can't do it. Like, it's hard to explain unless you're really in it. But you really want to get up, but you can't. Like, you literally cannot. So give yourself grace for the things that kind of fall behind, for, you know, maybe you wasn't able to play with your kid that day. Maybe you wasn't able to do the activity that y'all had planned to do and you had promised him that she was going to do and you didn't do it. You have to give yourself grace for that, because a lot of times what happens is, for me anyway, the mom guilt comes in. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh, I'm such a bad mom, and I was supposed to do this for him, and I can't believe I upset my kid again, and I'm then it goes into, I'm alone, I'm doing this by myself, and then you might get yourself right back into another depressed mode.
Cycle, if you, right? Yes. Mm-hmm.
if you give into that. Mm-hmm. So give yourself grace. Do not try to do a lot of things when you, like, your to-do list should be wiped clean when right. you're depressed. Like, you don't need to be making no phone calls. You don't need to be trying to have no meetings, because things are not going to go. It's not, you're not going to be at your best. The things are not going to go like you think it's going to go. It's better to cancel it, reschedule it, call out of work for the day, whatever you need to do, because you're not going to be at your best. You could be at the point where you're depressed and you're still trying to push through and go to work. You end up cursing somebody out because you're so irritable and lost your job, get rolled up, and just take the day off. Like, right. It's okay. Give yourself that grace.
Right.
So those are the tips that I have for people who may be right in the middle of a depressed mode. But it also does really depend on you and what your symptoms are. That works for me, may not work for you.
Right, right.
But that's why you need to be in therapy, so you can figure out what is going to work for you, and your therapist is going to help you come up with a plan for when it does happen. And that's where I got mine from. It didn't come from just me sitting there. I actually had help to create that plan that I implement.
And I think that it's important too, to realize that therapy isn't just something that we go get when we need help. Right. That's mm-hmm. the thing. It's like, having somebody that is impartial to me, for me, that doesn't know anything about my situation, anything going on in my life, somebody that I can go talk to about how I feel like I'm showing up for myself. Because mm-hmm. basically for me, I think that, yeah, there's so many things that go on. Yeah, there's so many things that go around me. Like, I got the kids, I got work, I got this, I got that. But at the end of the day, at the core of all of it, me. Like, how am I able to deal with and handle things? So being able to have an outside ear and not just making it about, oh, because I am depressed, or, oh, I'm in a bad place right now, but just mm-hmm. somebody that can hear me out.
I yeah. think
that has made all the difference in my life and the times that I have gone to therapy, you know, how much better I have felt about myself. And even still knowing those things, like how much better I feel when I do go to therapy, still making excuses for not actually going to therapy. It's like, why are you making excuses? This is something that should be normalized. It should be something that you do regularly. These people are trained. They are paid.
Yes, to listen to you. And I think that's what people forget.
Let them do They're it.
Trained. It's not just like talking to your best buddy. They're trained. And also, I really feel, and I think I need to look into this. I really feel like, just like we go to the doctor every year, the dentist every 6 months, the eye doctor every year, we need to be going to therapy, I think, once a quarter, at least once a quarter. And I think that should be included in preventative health, because how much more can you take care of yourself than taking care of your own brain? Like, what's going on in your emotions? Because that derives from that's what everything comes from. People will tell you, if you got high blood pressure and you've been having strokes and heart attacks, get rid of some stress. Mm-hmm. But where does that stress come from? It's built up emotions, built up things that we add to ourselves, pressure that we add to ourselves that we really don't even have to once we get to the thick of it. You know, things that we think that somebody may be holding a grudge against us, or we holding a grudge against somebody. All those things can be worked out in therapy. And then you prevent even having the high blood pressure and the strokes and all the overweight and all this other stuff that contributes to the way that we feel on the inside. I think that's what a lot of people, but I don't think yet the world understands that yet, but right. I think we're coming to it. I think that in the next few years, there'll be at least some talk about adding it to preventative health insurance.
I agree with that. I think it's so important that we do that. And like you were talking about the mom guilt, like how that keeps, it cycles you. And even for moms that are not depressed, it puts you in this cycle of not being able to pick yourself back up, because mm-hmm. the things that you feel like you should be doing. And I go through it all the time. I mean, you being a mom that had olders and youngers, and then just like, for me, it's always been about, okay, when is it going to be my time to really concentrate? Yeah. Self, you know, and girl, that could put me in a place, you know, of just right. like going in a cycle of like, oh, well, you know I have to do this, but certain times, I mean, just being honest that I don't want to do it. Like, mm-hmm. I would rather be spending the time focusing on me. So finding the balance and being able to know that you are just as important as the things that you have to do for your kids. And I think that is what prevents us from taking care of ourselves. We feel like everyone else's need is more important than ours.
Than ours, yeah.
Yes. And so I get so excited to hear about people who are taking the steps that they need to take, as far as, like you say, medication, taking the days off, the mental health days, going to a therapist, because we matter. And I think that
for
so long, and for what we've seen from generations before us, right? Mm-hmm. That women didn't matter, that mothers didn't matter.
Yeah.
It's been passed down, especially I say in the Black community, that this is our role. This is our job. And so
to carry the load.
Mm-hmm. Right. If we don't carry the load well, then something is wrong with us, you mm-hmm. know? And that's not necessarily the case. I think that if we get in places where we really start to prioritize ourselves through preventative medicine, that we would be able to deal with so much less. We put so much of it on ourselves. And society has helped us, of course. It's not like we just made this up. Society definitely puts this on us. But I think that if we really learn how to take a step back and look and say, okay, so if I am well, if I am taking care of myself well, mm-hmm. mentally, physically, spiritually, if I'm really concentrating on myself in those areas, the people around me are going to thrive, right?
They're going to have the best of you.
Yes.
And then that means that they can be their best.
Thank you.
So, I mean, I still have to remind myself sometimes that, because I get to the point where I feel like I have to do it all, because I'm trying to also like build this generational wealth, and we have to build this business, and we have to do this, we have to do that, we have to show up on Instagram every day. And no, you don't. No, you don't.
Right.
No, you don't. And I get to the point where I would just like, you know how some people will come on, and I don't, you know, blame anybody who does this, but they'll say, hey guys, I'm taking a few days off and I'll be back. I'm so sorry. I don't do that. You just won't see me. When I come back, I'm not apologizing right. for coming back. I'm just back, and we back to rolling. Like, so we have right? this apologetic type of spirit mm-hmm. where we always have to feel like we have to put that other person's feelings, and oh my God, I hurt somebody's feelings, so I have to apologize. When really, they probably didn't even know that she was gone. Like, they was looking at some other influencer. Like, they was fine.
Really, like, we will put everything ahead of ourselves, right? So even that, we'll put people before ourselves. And I think that the older that I've gotten, I'm going to be 47 this month. So the older that I have gotten, I have learned that whatever it is that you need from me, I cannot give it to you unless I am filled up. And I don't even try.
I like the way you put that.
I'm not the friend that's going to answer the phone if I don't have time, because I can't detract from the things that I need to do to really fill myself and build myself up. I have to take a step back. And if you are really somebody that loves that person that needs to take a step back, then you will completely understand why they need to do that.
Why they need to do it, yeah.
Us as women would be better at that and even give each other grace, right? Because if you are my friend and you're my best friend and you're going through something that you need me to listen to, but I'm not even taken care of, how am I going to show up? So I think
you can be half listening, and that's what my family says I do. It's like, girl, you hear what I said? I'm like, oh yeah. Or is I ask them something? So, you going to work today? Girl, I told you yesterday I wasn't going to work. Oh, did you? Okay.
Because we're wrapped up in doing so many things, right? Because we want to be that person for people. We want to be that person. But honestly, there is no way that we are able to be that person if we have not yet been that person to ourselves.
To ourselves. Yeah.
So I don't even try anymore, because it does lead to cycles of depression for me. Because
you recognize that, but there's a lot of people in this world who haven't recognized it yet. And that's what I'm trying to get people. So in my book, I talk about, you know, how to create your plan. I always
in your book, you talk about, you got to tell us what your book, tell us about.
So the book is written, it's called Depression Management Guide. It just walks you through steps of how I manage my depression. And everybody's going to be different, because depression has so many faces. But if anybody is like me, then this will really kind of gel it together. Or even if you're not depressed, you can start kind of like build this upon a situation. So I talk about knowing your triggers. Well, I go first with talking about what depression is, the symptoms, the treatments, and things like that. Then I go into knowing your triggers and ways that you can find out your triggers if you don't know. And then I go into, you know, building or creating an action plan, which is something that we already covered with, you know, knowing your support and things like that. But one of the biggest things that you have to do is brain dump. What makes you happy? What makes you calm down? What kind of things do you like doing? And that right there could be what stops a lot of people, because they haven't sat with themselves in so long that they realize that they like things that their husband likes. Or they like things that their kids do, or they've consumed themselves so much into being that family woman that they haven't, or that career woman that they haven't had a chance to really stop and think what I like. So you brain dump, you sit and you just think about what kind of things that you like and what kind of things calm you down and what makes you happy, what makes you smile. And once you brain dump all of that, then you're going to categorize it to fit the symptoms that you're having. Mm-hmm. And the intensity of the symptoms that you're having, because depression is not just like on one level. It can be very intense. It could be mild. You know, it have different levels of it. So for different levels of it, you'll have different types of things that you will do to combat what you're feeling. And if you get into the habit of doing some of these things on a daily basis, then you lower the chances of you even having that depressive mode. So say like, journaling is something that kind of calms you down. Mm-hmm. If you journal every day, even if you're not having a depressed mode, then that may help you to filter out some of those emotions so that you're not so overwhelmed that may trigger you into a depressed mode. So if you're somebody who likes to take walks in nature because that calms you down, hearing the bird sounds and the wind blowing and the rustling of the leaves, that nature calms you down. If you do it on a regular basis, you'll have that serenity in your heart. You have that peace that you walk around with, so you don't have to, you know, just scramble to find it when you're in a depressed mode. So some of these things are stuff that you can just implement on a daily basis. But especially if you're having an episode, you want to make sure you go to this action plan and you say, okay, what am I feeling, or what have I been feeling over the last couple of weeks, and what kind of things can I can I do right now to help me to get through this? Can I journal right now? Can I, you know, sometimes screaming and letting out some of that energy. That's a good thing. It's going to be different for everybody because everybody likes to do different things. And I give a sample of exactly what action plan looks like. And then I just leave a empty one for someone to fill it out for themselves in the workbook part of the book. So it does come with a workbook. So you have like these templates that you can use. There's templates on finding your triggers. There's templates on getting your plan together. And there's a resource page as well for people here in North Carolina, because I only know things here in North Carolina and a few things online where people can go to start trying to build up their community or find therapy, find support groups and things like that. So that workbook is going to be something that's very helpful to the point where you might not even need to read the book. The workbook itself just may be something that you need. So I do offer it as separate, alone by itself, or I offer it together with the book. So, but I think that if we just kind of sit with ourselves and just figure out what makes us happy and start to implement some of those things on a more regular basis, then we will find that we will have a lot less episodes. And especially if you're also conjoining that with therapy. So, and your therapist can help you. Your therapist can help you figure out that plan, because that's what happened for me.
Right. Yeah. I love the fact that you normalize doing this all the time. Like not making it only a thing to do when you are in a depressed state. And so I know that I'm going to be getting my copy, because that that's great to just be able to like really like focus on the things that make you whole, you by yourself. And when you can write those things down and have a plan of action to do every day for preventative method.
Right.
So you don't have to go down that road if you don't need to. And I think
you don't need to. I try not to get to that second level, that second tier.
Right.
The plan. And if I get there, then, you know, something happened before that I neglected to do.
Right.
Exactly. So, yeah.
So I just really enjoy the talk around, even before you were saying, just normalizing thing and not waiting until you get in a depressive state to do things. Even normalizing taking a break from your kids, normalizing being able to do the things that bring you joy without feeling guilty. And I think that's going to be the main piece that's going to
help.
So many women stay out of being depressed. And I mean, yes, sometimes there is there's more of a chemical thing, right? Where people do need to have
Yeah,
sometimes it is, but sometimes it is just because we have not gotten to know who we are. So I think that your resource is going to be very helpful for a lot of people to be able to do that. And so I'm going to make sure that I link that in the show notes too, so people can make sure
absolutely
to pick that up.
I do have to update you on the email list and the link for the book, because okay, I now have that available.
Okay. Oh, yes, girl. I'm so excited. So are there any last words that you would like to leave moms with before we end this podcast today, Kimberly?
I would love to leave moms with the words of that you are the most amazing person that you could ever be. And as long as you keep that in the forefront of your mind, you will absolutely live it out and walk it out. You have to tell yourself that, you have to believe that, and you will become that. And so that's what I want to leave you guys with today. And just make sure that you're putting yourself first.
I so appreciate you coming on and talking to me. I know she saw me write my little notes on the side.
Yeah, I did.
I'm excited about the resource, and we will chat soon. Okay, girl?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for having me.
You, no problem. Take care, okay?
All right.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Melanated Mom Podcast. I appreciate each and every one of you, and I appreciate each and every listen. Let me share with you some ways that we can help the podcast reach others that it may help as well. First, you can share any direct episode with one of your friends by text message. Second way that you can help the podcast is to rate and review the podcast. The third way that you could help the podcast is to post to your social media. So go ahead and make a post over on IG or on Facebook when you hear something that you enjoy. I appreciate the listens, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Take care.